Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 9 o'clock, 713-780-3776. Looks like Clowney, the Raiders have made Clowney an offer. Jadeveon, we just forget that Jadeveon Clowney's sitting out there, right?
There's actually a lot of guys out there.
Yeah.
There's some good football players
out there. We never even talked about Cam Newton's deal.
No, we didn't. No, we never got to that yesterday.
Cam Newton, $1 million.
It could be as much as $8 million.
Yeah.
In that neighborhood. With incentives.
With incentives.
Mm-hmm.
Will he be their starter week one?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, too.
I think insiders believe that the Patriots do like Jarrett Stidham, but they do want an insurance policy. If it doesn't go well, they can flip the switch after 3 games and 4 games and go to Cam. I really think if you like Stidham, and Jarrett Stidham is talented, his issues primarily his senior year were he didn't play a ton of football. He played a year at Baylor. He played some football at Baylor. He went to Auburn. Had to learn Gus Malzahn's system. It was kind of a bleep show behind the scenes between Gus Malzahn and his offensive coordinator. It was really actually pretty bad. His offense coordinator left after his junior season. Or no, left after last year, I guess. Chip Lindsley, I think his name is. Jared had a good junior year. I think he would have been an early second-round pick had he come out. Wasn't a ton of tape on him. Pretty good size, highly intelligent, throws a pretty football, relatively accurate. He went back and had an offensive line that was a mess. He got the crap beat out of him on the field. He lost his poise. It went really downhill. He ended up being the first pick of the 4th round for the Patriots. He's got talent, but that doesn't mean, look, if he doesn't gather his poise and if he doesn't prove that he can play under fire, it's hard to be a good starter in the league. But the Patriots do believe in his talent. But I don't know if they are fully bought in that he is going to be the quarterback of the future. The Cam Newton deal is not a bank breaker. For Richard Sherman, I talked to somebody in the league yesterday. We were talking about Russell Wilson, and we're talking a little bit about Russell Wilson's contract and how Russell Wilson's a leader and all this stuff. And this same guy made a point about Richard Sherman. He said, Richard Sherman was one of the guys who was really a problem causer on that team because he was a guy that took a lot of shots behind the scenes because he didn't think Russell was black enough. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of comments that Russell had to deal with that probably weren't very fair to Russell Wilson. And Richard Sherman is just, Richard Sherman is speaking on everything. And Richard Sherman, that's a totally disgraceful contract. First of all, I thought you're not supposed to talk about another man's money.
I thought that was a rule.
You don't talk about, because Cam Newton had to come out and say, whoa, I'm cool with this, or I wouldn't have taken the deal. This is a proven deal. This is not about money. Cam's made a lot of money. This is not about money for Cam.
Did you see what Jalen Rose, Dell, you were watching that same show that I was watching. Jalen Rose was we were talking about the Kendrick Perkins. That was a different show. Jalen Rose came on his show and likened it to slavery.
All it is a veteran. We really have to stop comparing things to slavery. It's a veteran minimum deal. It's basically a veteran minimum with a ton of incentives. This has been done forever on prove-it deals. This is a huge prove-it deal situation. And what you have is basically Cam Newton on a 1-year deal saying, look, I'm coming in as a backup. You can pay me whatever you can to get me under. I'm just going to prove myself. And then from there, he will get real money after that. He's had real money since 2011 all the way to 2020. He currently was without a team. He has physical issues. He has to kind of prove that he's back and can stay healthy. It's a prove-it deal. If he takes over starting quarterback, he'll make between $6 and $8 million, which is a very, very good backup quarterback deal. And then he'll get a new starting gig worth, you know, probably $30-plus million if he plays really well. That's the reality. If he plays well for the Patriots, he's probably going $30-plus million for 3 years.
30 a year?
30-plus. Yeah.
A year?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I'm going to go under. I'm going under on
you
that.
Think?
Yeah, even if he plays well. What are the first of all, where? There are limited places right now.
But okay, one of the places could be the Raiders. I mean, that comes right to mind.
Right.
Jacksonville
but
Jaguars.
Even still, I don't think it'll be 30. I think he'll get somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 375.
Raiders, Jaguars, Jets. Because remember, if they don't get it done this year.
He's a little bit older, too.
Yeah,
He's got injuries in the past.
Well, he has to prove he can win from the pocket.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I mean, he's done it. When he was an MVP, he did it. But staying healthy and winning from the pocket has not been a consistent combination for him. You know, looking at the quarterback numbers, average per year, you're probably right. You got Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan. And then after that, it goes to Ryan Tannehill, who's at 29.5. I would think that he would get a number similar to Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill, 29.5. If Ryan Tannehill got 29.5 at the age of 32, I feel like Cam Newton should be in that neighborhood too if he has a bounce back season.
Ryan Tannehill was in the best place, the perfect place at the right time for him in that. And he took his team to the AFC. Well, Derrick Henry took his team to the AFC Championship game, and Ryan Tannehill was along for the ride.
But he still got 29.5.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is more valuable than that.
Yeah. Couldn't you? You may be right. I think it's probably going to be more 375. But okay. Whatever. You're right. This is a prove it. Now, suppose he doesn't even. Suppose Jared Stidham plays well. Suppose what does Cam Newton get then? So if Cam Newton doesn't get on the field,
I don't know what the construct of the whole thing. It probably is constructed to be a basic backup deal.
No, right. But it's a 1 year deal.
Well, right. You don't want him.
No. But I mean, saying going forward, then what is Cam Newton going to? How if he can't prove himself? What's he going to get?
Look, I can't wait for the day that the Patriots, particularly without any preseason, most likely come out and go, Jared Stidham's our starting quarterback. And the fervor that will be on Twitter and on ESPN discussing this with really no knowledge of the situation at all other than how could Jared Stidham have beaten out Cam Newton? I can't wait for that day because I don't know what people have seen from Cam since 2015, but he's not the guy that you think he is.
If you watched him, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, he's not that guy. Now, yeah. Health has certainly been an issue, and he's been okay. I mean, since the 35-10 MVP year, 19-14, 22-16, 24-13, more in line with his career before the MVP
right.
year.
Right. If you look at his career, there's other than the rushing touchdowns, which were a big,
that's a big part of his game.
It's a lot of touchdowns.
It's a lot of his game.
But you know that part of your game goes away. That's like being an explosive basketball player. At some point, it turns into the skill. It's less about the explosiveness and it's more about the skill because some of your athleticism diminishes. With Cam Newton, if you really go back and study his whole career like I have, the MVP year is kind of an outlier from a passing standpoint. You won't find any other years that look like that. You won't find any other years. But there's just kind of a reputation with Cam because he did score touchdowns. He would make some splash plays. He did have a very good MVP year. He did not have a very good fourth quarter in that Super Bowl.
What about in a short passing game ball control offense like the Patriots?
Well, I mean, maybe that can work. He's going to have to – that's not what he has been in previously, so he's going to have to reshape himself. Now, I've listened to football people who think that this could end up being a really good offense for him, that maybe this is the kind of offense he needs. My concern is that he's not very accurate, and so he's not a guy with great ball placement, and so he's going to need some guys to get open. When you have the guys who are running deeper routes, longer crossing routes, more route combinations to create an ability to throw into space. Like Cam Newton, to me, it would be a great fit for Shanahan or Kubiak's offense, where he throws to space as opposed to throwing to tight windows.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you have to do, at least in Tom Brady's offense, it might be different. Josh McDaniels may do something different. The one thing you have to do is you have to be able to throw into tight windows and have some ball placement, because the routes are shorter. You have the choice routes from the slot. And so you got to be able to throw with the anticipation, and you got to be able to throw with some ball placement. And that's not always been his strong suit. Cam's deal is the base is 1.05. Newton can earn another $700,000 in per game roster bonuses. So he's, even if as a backup, if they play 10 games, I mean, you know, he's, and up to $5.7 million in additional incentives. The maximum value of his contract is $7.5 million. Oh, I'm sorry, $700,000 in per game roster, meaning as long as he's on the roster as a backup, it's going to be another $700,000. So that's not a ton for Cam.
Is that, does that active or not active?
It has to be active, but if you're a backup, you have to be active. But if you're active, so...
Who's their third guy?
But this is what he says.
Hoyer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Hoyer. Are you sure he's going to be active?
Well, if he's not beating out Hoyer as a backup, then Cam's done anyway. But it says not a lot of things money cannot buy.
Save 700?
This is what Cam said. But amongst the top of that list of things would find respect is one of those. Newton wrote on Thursday, this is not about money for me. It's about respect. For you to go to... That does mean something. For you to go learn from Bill Belichick, the Belichick way, and Josh McDaniels, who's a good offensive mind, this has a chance to be a... this is like... And by the way, why is his deal... Why should it be anything different than what was signed by Jameis Winston? Jameis signed a very similar deal.
But that was part of the point, too, was look at what Jameis and Cam have to sign for.
But Teddy Bridgewater signed a good one. Teddy signed a good one. Jameis, and yeah, this is not a, this is a buyer's market. This is not a seller's market for backup quarterbacks right now. There's actually a glut of quarterbacks relative to what we usually see. You know why this is great for both of them? You get to go play
they
under
put
Drew
up the
Brees.
Numbers, though. A.J. McCarron is making more than both Cam and Jameis.
Yeah, A.J.'s deal was done 3 years ago.
Right.
This is a bad year. Right now, you're in the middle of pandemic, and you're also, which, an uncertainty, and you're in the middle of a time where more quarterbacks have been added since A.J. McCarron was signed for the Texans. And for Jameis, you know what? What's A.J. McCarron really going to learn here? I mean, in all honesty, Bill O'Brien's a fine coach and all that. Teddy Bridgewater, no, I mean, Jameis Winston gets to go learn under Sean Payton and Drew Brees. That is invaluable. You got, I had a black agent tell me that, like, that is the best move of all. The money doesn't matter for Jameis right now. If you want to become a good quarterback, go learn from Drew Brees and Sean Payton. And he's got a chance to resurrect his career, because he's got to make changes or he's not going to be in the league. Cam Newton getting to go learn in this stage of his career under Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, that could be a game changer for him. And let's face it, that's a pretty good situation. That's the best situation to become a starter, isn't it? Of all the situations, isn't that really the best potential situation?
There or San Diego or L.A.
Right. But they just drafted a quarterback, so it's out.
Yep. Yep. No, yeah. That absolutely is the best.
That's really the best.
Right. You know what else is the best? The MMA law firm. That's right. McClenny, Mosley, and Associates. They're fighting. They're the MMA law firm. They're fighting against the insurance companies. They fight the insurance companies every day. If they have unreasonably denied the coverage you've already purchased and are acting in bad faith, you could be entitled up to 3 times your damage amount. All right. And this is what the MMA law firm does every day. And they're going to front all expenses. If they win, their payment will come from the recovery, not out of your pocket. No settlement, no fees. Head to largelossattorneys.com. Dram shop, pharmaceutical law, medical devices, serious personal injury, 18-wheeler injury. They do it all. Now more than ever, claims are delayed, underpaid, and denied by insurance companies in efforts to impress their stockholders and board members. If you believe this may have happened or is happening to you right now, a free, no-obligation consultation with the MMA law firm, largelossattorneys.com. And don't forget, all right, we got floods, we got hurricanes coming. They're a local law firm, and ESPN listeners, they want to fight for you. largelossattorneys.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
917 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Cam has seven kids, ample reason for a bounce back for a big paycheck. Been saying, never been a Cam Newton guy. If you remember when the Panthers paid him the first time, they struggled to give him the contract. Had an MVP year, but it was fluky. Schedule was soft. But, hey, props to that year. Hey, listen, Cam was an MVP in the league. He took his team to the Super Bowl. That you can't deny that. It is the outlier for his career, but he's also had a bunch of injuries. And now some of that is the way he plays the game. Others is Cam has never been protected. Dude, just the hits on Cam when they were cutting down on quarterback hits, apparently the refs never got word that you're supposed to protect Cam because that dude took a bunch of hits.
Yeah, all that is true, and I'm not denying any of that. But as far as what he is in 2020, I don't see that as a positive that he's been injured that often. Now, he's had a lot of time off. He only played two games last year. They just shut him down. But Cam's effectiveness, part of what made him unique and popular, which is less important, was the way he played the game. If he changed the way he plays the game, has he developed enough? Now, he's only, I guess he'll be 31 once a year start. Is he going to be a guy who can be an effective quarterback playing in a different way? If he's going to protect himself and last the next 4 or 5 years or however long he wants to play, can he be a guy who does that and not lean on the other parts of his game? That's the question that Cam's going to have to answer with this, not tryout, but his opportunity with the Patriots. Do you want to last in the league, and can you do it a different way?
Well, you asked a pretty good question. Cam's been around. Is Lamar Jackson going to be around? Similar skill sets with...
One guy's a lot bigger.
Well, yeah, with a lot smaller frame.
You don't ask... But here's the thing. I think it's so, and this is what concerns me about Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun is such a gamer that Bill O'Brien will lean on him every once in a while to get the tough yards, third and short, fourth and short. He's like, put it in his hands and let him get it that way. It wasn't a consistent issue because they had Carlos Hyde this last year.
I'm surprised though that they throw something. They put it in Deshaun's hands to throw on fourth down.
Yeah,
they've done that plenty.
They do both, but Cam was such an automatic. He was such an automatic in short yardage that it got easy, I think, for Carolina and Riverboat Ron to just lean on Cam Newton to go get that short yardage touchdown in the red zone. And Ben Roethlisberger did some of that when he was younger. But the problem is it really does start to add up. And it takes it has a cumulative effect on the physical well-being. You already have issues at being a quarterback. You're getting hit a certain amount of times a year. If you're a quarterback that holds onto the ball for a long time like Cam has done, you're going to get hit a lot. Deshaun Watson gets hit a lot. That's going to be part of what happens when you are a play extender. Because those play extenders, with the good comes the bad. But if you also ask him to handle heavy lifting, like short yardage runs on third or fourth down or in red zone, all that does is speed up the process of getting guys beat up. And that's why it's important. That's one of the reasons why Baltimore drafting J.K. Dobbins, to me, is so smart. Because now you have Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins and Gus Williams. You got three bangers. There is no reason for this, for Gus Lamar
Edwards.
Jackson. Go ahead.
Gus Edwards,
there is no reason long-term for Lamar Jackson to do anything between the tackles ever. And that's the thing. Cam Newton was between the tackles. At least you have Lamar Jackson gets out on the perimeter where there's more space for him to operate.
He doesn't take nearly the big hits, although he does take some hits.
Not yet. It's only been a year and a half as a starter.
Now, this guy didn't get the same type of hype for doing these things because, well, he didn't really do them. Andrew Luck was a guy who took hits.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he held on the ball too long, but or even when he got out of the pocket. He took a lot of hits.
It beat him down. And physically, you know, we see Ben Roethlisberger's not the same because of it. Andrew Luck was not the same because of it. And those are big dudes. Cam Newton's a big dude. It comes for everybody. It comes for everybody. At some point, you have got to, you know, at some point you have got to.
Well, Deshaun has cut back on it. Deshaun has definitely cut back on the big hits he was taking a couple of years ago. Last year, he was much better at not getting. Now, he did. He went after some touchdowns, some rushing touchdowns was questionable, but not like that Cowboys game a couple of years ago on the Sunday night game.
No, well, that was
ridiculous.
I haven't seen him do that anymore.
No.
Since he got his chest caved in.
Yes.
It's never fun to get your chest caved in.
No, and have to ride a bus to Tampa. Or Jacksonville.
You never want to. Do you want to go to Jacksonville?
No,
in
a bus.
Do you want to go on a plane?
No.
There's no real reason positives to going to Jacksonville.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Do you want to go on a bus?
You don't want to go in a car. You don't want to go in a. You don't want to walk. You don't want to ride a bike there. You don't want to do anything.
I mean, even people in Florida don't particularly like heading to Jacksonville.
No. I mean, only people from Gainesville.
Well, they don't even enjoy it
that much.
That's
a big city. That's like paradise compared to Gainesville.
Well, the times they go there when Georgia's there, they don't enjoy it that much.
Oh, they kind of do. It's the world's largest
cocktail party. Well, they leave sad. They've left sad quite a bit since Spurrier left.
Yeah, they've left there sad. They go there and have fun.
Well, Spurrier, I mean, when Urban left.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go there happy, thinking they're going to beat Georgia, and then they leave with another L.
Well, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Since Urban said bye, that's been the case, really.
Do you like them this year?
I mean, all of a sudden, I guess Kyle Trask is a great quarterback now.
I know. We'll see.
That's what I've been told. Everyone loves Kyle Trask. There's not enough juice from that Florida offense. You got to score. It's been a transition, and people are finally coming along with it. You just got to score a lot of points. I mean, sure, your defense has to be competent, but LSU, while they were struggling defensively early on, they score a lot of points and separated themselves. I don't know if Florida has that type of juice offensively. Because look at the national title winners. I mean, Oklahoma gets the crap because of how bad their defense is. But all the people who win titles, they score a lot of points. I don't think Florida has that in them. I don't think they can compete on that level with the best teams in the country in terms of putting up stuff on the scoreboard.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Trask lives up to what he was a backup.
The year king, and pretty much his entire college career until Felipe Franks got hurt.
Uh huh.
Now they did go to the Orange Bowl and win it. They beat an average or above average Virginia team, so I don't know how much that means. I don't buy the Florida stuff, and there's some bias because I hate them. But I don't see the juice offensively. They don't have any big time. They don't have a big time running back. They don't have scary wide receivers. They're going to be okay. They're probably going to win 10 games or so, but they're not better than Georgia.
No,
and that's who they have to get by in that division.
Yep. The best quarterback coach combinations in college football: Dabo and Trevor Sweeney, right?
Well, yeah, Dabo and Lawrence. Yeah,
Ryan Day and Justin Fields. They got Tom Herman and Sam Ellinger third.
Well, you would obviously insert Lincoln Riley, but his quarterback's unproven.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
The safest gamble is Lincoln Riley and Spencer Rattler.
It's Lincoln Riley, whoever's his quarterback at
this
point.
Yes.
What about Gundy and Sanders?
They don't have him because Gundy. Gundy said ugly stuff and wears OAN t-shirts.
He's going to win the OAN national title.
PJ Fleck and Tanner Morgan. Jimbo and Kellen Mond, they have as fifth.
Is it not a great quarterback year or something?
Well, isn't it time, though, that Kellen Mond does step up?
Do we expect Mac Brown?
Mac Brown, they actually have as the odd couple, Mac and Sam Howell.
Yeah. People love them.
The safest bet is Lincoln Riley and Spencer Rattler. The castoffs who found the perfect home, Sonny Dykes and Shane Buechele, which is.
That's true.
That is true. And Lane Kiffin and John Rhys Plumlee.
Who's like 5'10, but. He runs around and does a lot of exciting stuff.
Yeah, it'll certainly be interesting with Leach and Costello. I was talking to some. I said, you know, every look at the first year guys under Leach. He goes, you got to watch the first year of Leach though. The first year Leach is at a program, and especially where he doesn't have his hands on guys for the whole off season or in much of the preseason now, you can't bet on Leach this year.
Really?
Yeah. You can't bet on him his first year.
Don't they have a bunch of Zoom stuff going
on?
It takes him
a couple of years, even though it's the quarterback's first year. Leach's first year is not always, and especially this year, is going to be difficult.
Plus, he's going up against more team speed than he will have ever seen in the Pac-12 or Big 12. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Now, he's in the West, so he's going to see Auburn, Alabama, LSU. Oh, oof. Look at Leach's start. He has Arkansas, which who knows? Arkansas stinks. But the bulk of his in-conference schedule starts with home to A&M, at Alabama, at LSU, home to Auburn. The four best teams in the West he sees in a row.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm taking the under on Leach this year. I think I'm taking the under.
And it is not. Yeah, and you're right. Not being able to. Well, we'll see how we had Jalen, our intern, who's at HBU, talk about we're getting ready to get together for practices. Leach is going to have his guys out there. And that's one of those guys who isn't going to need a lot of thuds. Meaning there's not going to be a lot of hit.
No, he needs a lot of reps.
Like 7-on-7.
He needs a lot of reps. Yeah. Although you can't do 7-on-7s.
It'll be on air. It'll be on air. But that'll still help.
Yeah.
That'll still help. Who's his quarterback?
Costello.
Oh, yeah, KJ Costello.
But he doesn't think, he said, I asked him, he said, I'm not sure Costello's starting. We'll see.
Yeah.
And that's another problem. Because you want your starter to get as many reps as possible. And you don't know who your starter is yet. So that is another problem. And then the biggest mystery is Gus Malzahn and Bo Nix.
And Chad Morris is a new OC there. We'll see if Gus lets Chad call plays. Chad was the guy who kind of got Clemson off and running. When Dabo said, you know what? It's close to me getting fired. Let me go find a wizard on offense. And he went and found him and kind of changed the complexion of Clemson's program. I mean, maybe Gus is saying, maybe Chad can do the same thing for me here.
I think Brock Purdy should be on this list.
With Matt Campbell?
Matt Campbell. How about Clay Helton and Keaton Slovis?
That's a legit thing. As much as Clay Helton's taking crap, I mean, the start of his USC career is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Won a Rose Bowl, lost a Cotton Bowl or Fiesta Bowl, whichever one it was, to Ohio State. And he's got a quarterback health has been a problem for them there, but Slovis is a good player.
He's a really good player.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. I think, I'm telling you, these sophomores this year are, this is where the class is. It's going to be a monster 2021 class. You know, it's getting to the point, I know we talked about it, but I think there's a better than 50% chance that football ends up moving to the spring because there's a better chance of getting fans in the stands, which is critical for non-Power 5 mm-hmm. teams especially. And if that's the case.
That's a lot of revenue for 100,000 seat stadiums too.
So I talked to a trainer yesterday who said he believes, and he will tell his guys that he doesn't think they should play. And I was like, but, like, what's the difference between telling them not to play? The only difference I can think of is if you get hurt, there's not enough time for you to recover to play your rookie year. But other than that, there is really no – then what's the difference of telling them don't even play your junior year at all? Only play – freshman and sophomore year. Because for some, like at the quarterback position, if you were a really good quarterback, you already came out. You already came out if you're a really good quarterback, if you could. So if you're in, like, I get Trevor Lawrence. That one probably makes some sense. Yeah. If you know you're going to be number one, why even risk it? But if you know you're going to be number one, why even risk your junior year anyway?
Anyway, right. 9:30 ESPN. Wait,
and I'm not saying that that's what they should do. I think they should
play.
Well,
that was the argument for Jadeveon Clowney. Why even play Jadeveon Clowney?
But part of it is because you love football and you went there to go win championships and things like that.
9:30 ESPN, 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
Well, this is technically not right. John says Jadeveon Clowney didn't play his senior or junior season in college. That's not technically right.
He played his junior year. He didn't.
Me, technically.
Technically. Incorrect. People love Jacksonville. The Republican National Convention folks are down with Jacksonville. Yeah, that's really a good spot for them, if you want to know the truth. It's a good spot for the Republican National. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong.
It's a great place.
It's a great place.
Florida's case is on the rise. Get everyone in that building together and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's going to be... see how it works out for you.
Brother Bear Go says... Ahead. Here's an interesting question. Which quarterback team will be the most intriguing to watch? Now, quarterback and team. I don't think that's even close. Cam with the Patriots or Brady with the Bucks? Now, let's say Cam with the Patriots if Cam is the starter. Let me make that distinction.
Well, first of all, who's got better weapons?
I still Brady. Think it's Brady Bucks.
It is.
Because it's also... you got
Which offense is going to be more prolific? It'll be Brady.
Yeah. But it also, I mean, it's an interesting storyline to see how Belichick does without Brady. Brady wasn't very good last year. He was actually below average last year. He steps into a much better receiving core. Gronk is back in pro football, which is interesting. You got the jazz man, Bruce Arians, guy who looks like I got to give that up to Texas Cleaver once said that. He looks like a guy that you'd see playing a saxophone
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
With his Kangol and goatee.
Mm-hmm.
You got, hey, Jack. He's always, hey, baby, let me tell you something right now, baby. Hey, Jack. All right, now, Playboy. Okay, all right, Bruce, we got you. And but I still think it's Tom Brady. Easily Tom Brady out of the Patriots. I mean, that's an iconic. That's the GOAT of football quarterbacks. And you want to see if he can get it done in a new location. It's Warren Moon playing in Minnesota. It's Brett Favre in Minnesota or the Jets. It is Joe Montana with the Chiefs. Like, that's always a very intriguing scenario where a great quarterback moves to a new team. So I'm very interested in that. Cam with I think Cam with New England could potentially be highly combustible. Because Cam's going to have to be all in with what Belichick wants. Belichick isn't very yielding to say, all right, the quarterback is a little different. I'll let him do. Like, he expects you to be the leader of the... He expects you to really push the Belichick way.
Will Cam do his Pippi Longstocking's hair? Will he wear his...
I don't think
that... Babushka? Will he...
Yeah, he's not going to stop England? Being...
Are you sure?
Tom Brady did some fashion stuff, too. Now, just because it's different fashion... Tom Brady was all about his little...
Well, he did it on shoots. He didn't... He pretty much was pretty calm and tame and pretty boring, actually. Pretty vanilla on the stand. At the press conferences. I mean, does it get more vanilla than Tom Brady?
I mean,
he did with some baby goats or something, lambs. I mean,
here's one.
Well, that's not, I mean, that's a hat.
Oh,
that, I don't know. Somebody put that
that's
on him.
No, that's a Cam hat.
No, Cam's a different level now. Cam's Russell
Look
Westbrook.
Look at this jacket.
Well, it's a members only.
No, that's probably like a $7,000 jacket.
Yeah.
Not that, you know.
Oh, he wears, yeah, I mean, come on. You're going to compare Tom Brady's fashion to Cam Newton's?
No, I'm not comparing him, but I think Tom did some fashion stuff whenever he was, and he just did some different looks.
Will he wear a babushka? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I don't. What you think the Patriots will say? You're not allowed to wear this.
I think that the Patriot way is different. Yeah,
I think the Patriot way is different.
Did Garrett Cole have to? Did he have to shave his beard?
Bill Belichick isn't going to tell a former MVP how to dress. That's not happening.
No, I think Cam will conform more. Cam will do it the Patriot way.
Well, he's going to be expected to. I don't know that the Patriot way means he's not allowed
boring.
To.
No, yeah, you have
dress
to be boring.
Up. But,
no, you have to be boring. That's
so when he comes
way.
To, what's his, he's just a plain colored t-shirt and some jeans?
Could well be. Yep. Nah. Well, not a babushka or Pippi Longstocking's
What
hair.
Difference does that make as a quarterback?
Did you see what he wore to show up?
Yeah. Did you see his arrival clothes?
No.
Okay.
It ain't what
you're
thinking.
Changing. it wasn't Patriots issued gear. We'll just say that.
Well, but as soon as
here,
you get
I'll
in
just
there,
type in Patriot Cam Newton arrives Patriots, and I'll let you... See?
I think it's probably a suit,
That's
maybe a thin tie. I don't know.
No. This headscarf look. That's what you call babushka. It's so outlandish. Like, to this day, it's so jarring. All right, look. No one's going to touch Cam in the post. I'm not saying this is a contest. What I am telling you...
Well, Russell Westbrook kind of...
I don't even think Russell... Like, Cam looks like a...
Are you sure?
Look
at Cam on his arrival to Foxborough for his physical, John.
That was it?
Yeah.
No, that's not it. That's just Cam. That's just a regular...
I'm looking at Cam right now. He's got shorts, mid-thigh shorts on.
Yeah, you've really got to see this.
A tight white t-shirt, looks like. He's got the matching top to the shorts tied around his neck, and he's got a stylish hat on. John, ain't nothing changing.
Ain't nothing going to change.
Look at this thing. He's wearing it like a cape.
He's got his cape on?
Yeah. He ain't changing, John. He's got a nice hat on.
He's got a cape.
Well, he's wearing the top. I guess it got hot in the car.
Come on, where's the picture?
No,
here
but-
it is. Oh, come on. Get up. No. Come on, AL.com. I don't want to subscribe to you.
See?
Here, Pro Football Talk will have it.
I just think, once he spends any amount of time with Bill Belichick.
No, I don't see it.
I don't
look at even Holly saw it. She was one of the first responders.
Holly broke it?
Yeah, no. She just she responded to the tweet. Her question, is that a cape?
Of course it's a cape. Superman wears a cape.
He just I don't know if it's a cape or the top, and he just tied it like a cape.
Come on. We may finally...
Why are you struggling?
There it is.
You think things are changing, John? Cam is Cam.
I love Cam. I mean...
Ain't nothing changing? He's got a jumpsuit. That's a cape.
Is that a cape or the top?
That's a cape.
I thought it was the top to the
He's caping
to the shorts.
Up for himself.
I thought it got hot in the car, so he took his top off and tied it around his neck.
His cape matches his pants. He's a superhero.
He's rocked up.
I feel like that's I thought that was like a sweater.
Is he sure
or something.
It's not? Yeah, tied around like
that's
Davis Love the Third.
That's what I'm thinking. It's a sweater that he
tied
around.
It is, because look from the front.
It's Davis Love the Third stuff.
Yeah, it matches the shorts.
I mean, look at the hat. This is, not going down like you think it is.
He is rocked up now.
Yeah, listen, we're going to need you to take those clothes and throw them in the trash. You can have a members only jacket. You can have Wranglers. But we can't have these onesies or these rompers. You can't have rompers.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable by how tight your shorts are as well.
Cool on.
Like, I can see your penis. I don't need to see your penis.
I don't think Bill's going to say it.
Now I know what MVP stands for.
That's how you got to work.
We've got a very strict no testicle rule. We don't want to be able to see your testicles. If you have to shift them all to one side, it's too tight.
Yeah, forget about it, John. Your theory is shot. Cam is Cam.
I didn't think Bill would drop a penis reference.
He uses medical terminology. I'm done with this show. I can't doing this show. I know.
Yeah,
Where's your
gavel? Yourself.
Where's your gavel?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. That is so funny. 713-780-377. How about them Skeeters, Lance?
Well, let's talk about the Skeeters. This is really cool. First of all, with the Skeeters, I pull up some of my notes for you, because it's really cool that they've got some big names who are managing. Remember, there's four teams going on right now with Skeeters baseball. It starts this Friday, July 10th, you got baseball back at Constellation Field in Sugar Land. The MLB released over 1,000 minor league players recently. So the Skeeters, with the help of Roger Clemens, formed a new league to give these young guys a chance to improve their chance to chase a dream. There's four teams made up of single A and double A players. Real, big time, could be the next big guys up on rosters. They're going to be playing right here in Sugar Land. 21 players have already reached the big leagues. 13-ish former first-round picks, and five former in the top 100 players in Baseball America. Clemens' team is Team Texas. It will predominantly have players from Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech. College baseball legend Pete Incaviglia, Greg Swindell, and Dave Island will also manage teams in the highly competitive league. Island was the Royals pitching coach in 2015 when they won the World Series, and he was the Mets pitching coach last year. Enjoy the minor league atmosphere in one of the nicest ballparks in the country. They're going to do a thorough cleaning of the stadium after each game, and social distancing allows just 2,000 fans a night. So great seats, great atmosphere, open-air stadium, and tickets start at just $9. For more information and a chance to go see potentially the next big leaguers down the road, why don't you go to SugarlandSkeeters.com for your information and for your ticket information and information on their suites.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, that's one of the funniest things ever. A lot of people responding to that. Yeah, how many things does he have, Lance, if he's shifting it all over to...
Oh!
What?
Tommy Stark's thing.
Oh, that thing with the girl hitting the
Yeah. I should have known when he wrote Bill O'Brien and it's somebody
trying
jumping
to land
off
the
of
deal.
A, jumping off of
a roof
onto a giant trampoline and then trying to bounce
into the pool and instead got caught in between the trampoline and the pool.
And smashed
it. Her head. But she was laughing, so that was good. Boy,
get it for TikTok.
Tony sent us the Jamie Foxx Tyson biopic, and it's Jamie Foxx at the microphone, and somehow they meld Mike Tyson
Whenever Jamie is doing the Mike Tyson imitation, he's telling a story whenever he does Mike's voice.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they somehow are able to superimpose Mike Tyson's face on him, but saying the words.
And in this, wearing the same.
You know what I bet it is? The same. Maybe it's similar technology to what they use for the Irishman, where they're able get them to look a different way while they're talking. Maybe it's something like that.
And they still use his lips, but
I don't know. This is incredible.
It's unbelievable.
You got to retweet
I've never seen anything like that. This is amazing. I don't know what I did there.
I don't feel comfortable with this. Remember when we were talking about Cameo and where you could pay people to send messages to to whoever you want? Childish Altuve said, how much is Julia Morales? See, I don't like the way that's even phrased. You mean to do a Cameo and she's not on there, okay? Don't just say how much is somebody. We don't do that.
Yeah, that's a mother and she's about to be a mother.
Is she?
Altuve. Yeah.
Julia is pregnant. Congratulations,
yes.
Julia. I just retweeted it. You got to see this Mike Tyson Jamie Foxx thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is.
I can't wait to see that movie. I wonder if they're gonna use any type of technology to help Jamie look more like Mike Tyson.
They could.
Because remember, we had and I thought actually, you know, in hindsight. And I thought this at the time, but Will Smith, for his portrayal of Muhammad Ali, we're talking about one of the most iconic figures in sports history, Muhammad Ali. There's probably the five of them, you know, it starts with Jordan and Ali to me, Those are the two you start with when you talk about iconic sports figures.
Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Babe Ruth's probably in there too. But should we, maybe, why am I doing five? Can we, are we allowed to do Mount Rushmore's any no more? We don't do Mount Rushmore.
No, right? No, not since the pandemic is over. You don't do Mount Rushmore's anymore.
Are you allowed to do Mount Rushmore's at all?
Are you allowed to do that anymore?
Are you allowed to do Mount Rushmore's? Maybe you don't know what happened while you were gone in Orange, Alabama.
No, I don't know what happened.
Dell, do you want to hip them to Mount Rushmore's?
What?
What happened?
You just really need to be careful about Mount Rushmore's now.
You can't do Mount Rushmore's anymore?
Maybe we're not calling it Mount Rushmore's. Maybe we just call it the four faces.
Top four.
Top fours. We just call them top fours now.
Oh, yeah, because isn't our president going to take over for Teddy Roosevelt or something? Isn't Trump going to put his face up there for...
No, he had his rally there.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can't even talk about it anymore?
Well you people can. Are saying, oh, great.
He also had it in Tulsa, right?
It's some interesting choices.
Yeah.
Seems coincidental. But anyway, no, on the... if you had to have... Well, okay, let me get back to it. Will Smith. I thought Will Smith did a brilliant job, really, of building his body up, of looking as fluid as Ali. Because Ali, as somebody who studied a lot of boxing when I was younger, I don't know that I've ever seen anyone. I mean, Pernell Whitaker was a guy who threw punches from these angles. Ali threw punches from angles that no one had ever seen. He threw what wasn't a hook and what wasn't an uppercut. It was a hook-uppercut combination, and he could throw it, not a combination, but a hybrid that he could throw from any angle at any time. He was brilliant at throwing lead rights out of nowhere, bouncing on his toes, and it didn't have to be jab, 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 1-2. Although he could do that, he could throw a lead right anytime he wanted to
the 30 punch combination.
Or flurry. Yeah, he could flurry. To be able to capture that fluidity is almost impossible, but I thought the filmmaker, was it Michael Bay? Or Michael Mann, the filmmaker and Will Smith in conjunction, and whoever choreographed the boxing, I thought they did a really good job of giving Will Smith an opportunity to do the impossible, which was try to emulate Muhammad Ali. Now, I got a feeling Jamie Foxx, and especially if they use any kind of technology to alter his face to look like Mike Tyson in any way, shape, or form, square off the jaw, whatever the case may be, I got a funny feeling that this is going to go to a different level. I think this is going to end up being a really good movie.
No doubt.
Because you've seen him getting ready, right? You've seen how he's... Have you seen the video of how he's changed?
No.
Go type in Jamie Foxx workout or Mike Tyson workout, something like that, and go look how rocked up he's getting. It's just like Will Smith did. Now, Eric Layden once told me, anytime guys in Hollywood, and Eric and I are going to do we tape our podcast today with Bun B. We're going to talk a ton of movies because Bun is a huge movie buff. But anytime that actors need to really pump up and get bigger, like immediately, he's like, you always have to wonder what they're doing.
Yeah. He's probably taking something, but he can. He's not going to get drug tested.
No.
Let him now, Bryson DeChambeau. We'll see. We'll see. By the way, there is drug testing in. We asked. That was a question that was asked yesterday. Is there drug testing? Dell, you asked that. There is drug testing in golf.
Is there?
Yep. So we'll see. I mean, and he's a prime candidate. You got to test him. Did you see Andre Rison? He said when he was at Michigan State, he said back then you just thought it was part of being tough and being a football player that wanted to make it to the National Football League and ultimately change the living situation of your mom, brothers, sisters, and family. He said, when the coach slapped me, he was before a game. Buck Nystrom was the assistant coach at Michigan State. And he said, before a game, coach slapped me, the whole room got silent. Mark Ingram Sr., put his arm around me. I shed a tear. I'd never been struck by a grown man, not by my grandfather, not by my father, who wasn't in my life a lot, but I just had never been struck by any man. And then I had never been struck by a white man, for sure. For a long time, I just held it in. That's taking it. He said, I was fresh off watching Roots as a kid and listening to how slavery was. We were real close to having learned that, but not like this generation of professional athletes. So that's why I commend them for how they stand up and protest the way they do for racial change. That's how it was. I mean, coaches used to could hit you, grab you by the face mask, yank you all that. Over.
And it was irrelevant what your race was. It depended on the coach, but the grabbing and pulling of the face mask. Now where I was, you knew who the coaches were who were kind of like that, and it wasn't widespread across. It was like almost every staff had one guy who was like that. Maybe sometime there might be a couple. But the grabbing of the face mask and get over here, like it wasn't a full flat. That sounds like he got
slapped in the face.
Not in a helmet.
No, he didn't have a helmet. Well, it was in the pregame locker room.
That sounds like something totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. I could
slapped in the face?
Yeah.
What the hell is going on over there?
Andre Rison, though, he was, you know what? I mean, but what year was Andre Rison at Michigan? What years was he at Michigan State? 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was drafted in 89, I think.
Even still, that's like...
Yeah, dude, 89
draft.
You
don't slap a kid. You don't... Not before a game. You don't slap a kid.
Well, there's no reason to slap anyone in the face. What are you talking about?
No.
Nobody.
No. You didn't get slapped. My mom, that was first thing, boy. You got slapped in the face. To this day, I can't. I mean, you know, that to me is like, I mean, I can't tell you. Can you imagine little Johnny getting slapped in the face a bunch of times?
Yeah.
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 Guess how many times I got a bunch.
Well, did you get to like, did she ever pull your ear?
No, it was.
What about pulling your ear?
No, she would pinch.
She never led you. Oh, the pinch is the worst.
Pinch is the worst.
My mom and dad never pinched. I got spanked, but the pinch.
She
I've heard about the
because
pinch.
She got pinched when she was a kid.
We had a guy named Mr. Joswiak who went over to this kid in class. He would talk like this. He was in science. Mr. Joswiak would talk like this, and he never raised his voice very high. And he didn't really care for something that one of the students was doing. So he walked over to him, and I'm watching him. And he grabbed him by the side and started pinching really hard. And we were like, guess we're not. Guess we'll keep
ain't
it
doing
down.
That. Ain't doing that no more. Ain't talking no more in class, that's for sure. Mm-mm. No, pinching blows. And so it slaps in the face. So
slaps in the face. So Rison came out and put that out there.
Yeah, actors do take HGH. Absolutely. Hugh Jackman, he took HGH.
Oh,
for, yeah.
Come on. I'm not accusing anybody, but I'm just saying.
And who would be on Mount Rushmore, Jack or Tiger? Well, you can't be on Mount Rushmore if it's a question. Pele, Ali,
I'm not putting
Babe Ruth, and Michael Jordan.
I'm not putting Pele in there.
Pele's not? Who's the greatest soccer player ever?
Messi.
Get busy. Has done nothing in the World Cup. He's a bust.
Messi. Well, his team did make a final.
He's a bust.
What does Cristiano Ronaldo do in the final? In the
and
World
no one
Cup?
Said that Pele is the GOAT.
Nah, Pele's not the GOAT.
Pele's the GOAT. What are you, nuts?
He's not getting up on a top five most iconic thing in sports. Tiger would. I mean, I'm obviously biased. He's in my generation. Another generation would probably say Jack. But I would say Babe Ruth is larger.
Well, no, because
these are guys who are larger than life.
Well, Wayne Gretzky. No, what it is you are so much superior to everyone else.
I said iconic. I said iconic. That also means larger than life.
Yeah.
Jordan, if we did it for every sport, let's just clean. If we did it for every sport, it's Jordan, it's Ali, right?
Yeah.
Jordan, Ali, I think Tiger.
Yeah, that you got an argument, but okay.
Yeah, but you do have an argument, yeah. I would say.
It's Pele.
Not according to Sports Illustrated. They did a ranking. They have Maradona 1, Pele 2, Messi 3.
Diego Maradona is pretty.
Yeah,
you want to talk about iconic.
Well.
Which one are you getting? Fat Maradona or the one who was
really, really good,
beating England in the World Cup with that hand of God goal? Ronaldo's not even in the top 10 of them.
Yeah, it's because he stinks. He's just a pretty
There is a Ronaldo, but not John's favorite.
Brazilian Ronaldo. Yeah,
no, Brazilian Ronaldo.
The real Ronaldo. Brazilian Ronaldo. No, he
sucks. Cristiano at 15.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's terrible.
That's fair.
That's crap.
Look, Babe Ruth in baseball. Babe Ruth. And then in football.
It's, well, there's an argument.
Iconic. Antonio Brown?
Texan Antonio
Future
Brown?
Future Texan.
Who is it? Who's your iconic? I think the other ones are.
It's Brady.
I like Jerry Rice on a slant. I feel like that particular play, him taking a 5-yarder and going 80. I don't know any of Brady's iconic throws. He's just a great player. Jerry Rice had a thing. He would take a slant.
But I've seen John Taylor do
they
it in the Super
Bowl?
They
both did as part of their offense. Well, he didn't go it wasn't a long one, but he did catch the winner. But Jerry Rice catching the slant and going 60, 70 yards, that was part of that 49ers thing that I remember. I will always remember that as that being Jerry Rice's thing. I don't know what Tom Brady's thinking other than being consistently great.
Yeah, well, I mean, iconic doesn't mean taking a slant.
No, he said iconic. Like, LeBron's block is iconic. He says iconic. When I think of Jerry Rice, I think of that particular play as part of his profile as one of the maybe the best player of all time. Tom Brady's a great quarterback.
No, Jerry Rice, an argument, is the greatest football player ever. So there's no question.
AJ said Jim Brown. I think Jim Brown, you could have a discussion. Bo Jackson, I would not. I mean, he was an iconic. Well, okay, so the term iconic is interesting because Bo Jackson had the Bo Nose campaign because he could do just about everything. But if you really want to get down to it, Deion Sanders maybe is in the same. When you really think about what Deion Sanders did, Deion won a Super Bowl and a World Series.
Yeah, but Jim Brown, well, again, to me, it is you were so superior to everyone else. That's why Babe Ruth had more home runs than most of the team. The other teams in the league, he was third as far as teams go for home runs. So that he was so far and away. Jim Brown was far and away the best player. I mean, far and away the best player. So was Michael, and so was Ali. Well, but Ali lost too. Ali lost as well.
Oh, yeah. But Ali also gave up, you know, part of his career.
That's true.
When he was in his prime.
10:02, we got to take a break.
69 to 72. In that neighborhood, I mean, he lost 3 years of his prime.
Yeah, you got to beat it. Beat it. 10:02 ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.